Welcome to the Arena Church podcast. We hope you enjoy the message.
Brilliant. How are we doing? Are we okay? Good, good. It's good to see you this Easter. Who, just out of interest, and we want to see who the disciplined ones are in the house, who's had chocolate already this morning? Raise your hands if, yeah, my hand is up. Is that you, Dan Tompkins? I see you. Yeah. The worst thing was it was my kid's chocolate as well. It wasn't even mine. So not only have I eaten chocolate, I've also stolen. So it's good. It's a good job I'm in church today. I'm only joking. If it's your first time, though, we give you a warm welcome. Are you doing all right in the back there? It's good to see you back there. Awesome. I see you. I've got a funny story for you before I get into my message this morning. We were out last night a little bit later than usual on a Saturday night with the kids, watching my cousin play basketball at the other side of Nottingham. And we got back in the car and it was like 8:45. I was like, kids, do you want to know something awesome? The clocks go back tonight, so it's like it's 7:45. Great news. We've got an extra hour in bed. Don't worry, there's no rush. We got home, we kicked back, we relaxed. And then the alarm went off this morning. I was like, how have I stayed in an extra hour? And Helen's like, actually, it's 5:30. They've gone forward. So well done if you got to church on time today. Thankfully, we did. I tell you what, thankfully, the phones and the watches sorted out now. Not like in the old days where people would be walking in like at the end of the service. But well done for making it here. Of course, we've got some guests in for our baptisms today. And they're going to be great. And they're going to happen in just a second. But we're in this mini-series just for the Easter weekend called To Hell with Death. Why don't you say it with me? To hell with death. And I'm going to explain a little bit about that in a second. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57. And it says this. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. We heard a little bit about that on Friday. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is anybody thankful this morning that we have the victory in Jesus? I'm thankful for that. To hell with death. You might not have been expecting that one this morning when you walked into church. You might have been expecting a lot of different things this morning when you walked into church. Maybe not the worship that we've had, or maybe me being dressed a little bit different to how I am. But sometimes God wants to break into our expectation and show us that actually everything wasn't how we thought it was. See, when Jesus went to the cross, everyone thought it was the end of the story. Most of the people closest to Jesus, including his mom, including the disciples, the people who had followed him, they had deserted him. His enemies laughed at him, and those standing on the sidelines mocked him, because it looked like it was finished. He promised so much. A bigger life. New life. A free life. He'd done so much. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you can see about that. He healed broken bodies. He set bound people free. And he gave the down and out a new chance. And just a note on this, I was speaking to someone outside of the church context the other day, talking about the Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the Gospels, and he was just stepping into it and having a bit of a look at it. And I said, what you don't know is this, that what Jesus did, there's more evidence that Jesus lived, like 4 times more evidence that Jesus lived than there was that Julius Caesar lived. The question is not if he lived, it's is he who he says he was. And I hope by the end of the day you'll be able to come to a conclusion for yourself on that. But on that ominous day, when he hung on the cross, it seemed like it was finished. In many ways, it was. Jesus himself said, it is finished. But Jesus was talking about something very different than those around were. Because 3 days later, two of Jesus' closest companions, which we've already heard about this morning, they went to mourn at his grave, and they saw that the huge stone that had been placed in front of his grave had been rolled away. Do you know that they put that massive stone there? Because so it would be impossible to get Jesus out of his tomb. That's why they did it. They were scared that someone might go and break into his grave. They put it there because they thought no one could move it. And by the way, there were guards there as well. And the angel declared to them, Nathan read from Luke, but I'm going to read from Matthew because I love a specific part of what it says here. It says, "Don't be afraid, for I know the one that you are looking for, Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Come on, if we're going to clap it this morning, he is risen. And that makes all the difference for us today. Because you aren't just coming to tip your hat to someone who once lived. You're not coming to talk about a historical figure. This is not a lecture this morning. This morning we're coming to hear about a God who is alive, a God who is with us, a God who is for us, a God who is on our side, and a God today who has the power to help you be free, forgiven, and live forever. It was finished. But not his life and his ministry. But it was death that was finished. Jesus laid death in his grave. And today I want to show you from the Bible that what Jesus did on the cross means we can live free. We can live forgiven. And we can live forever. Are you with me? The first thing is this, is that we can live free. Romans 8 verse 1 to 2. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." I want you to know this morning that because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of what he accomplished, you can live free. Now, me and Nathan, and me and Helen, we didn't compare notes this morning, but it's funny how many elements of my message have already come through the service. But there's this concept in our world that freedom is doing whatever I want when I want. That's not true freedom. That idea, that kind of freedom, it's a trick. And it's the best way for you to get bound. We've all seen people try this kind of freedom. Maybe you've tried this kind of freedom. "I'll take that when I want. I'll drink that when I want. I'll abuse that person when I want. I'll drive as fast and as carelessly as I can when I want." You get the point. If you do that and hurt someone, you're going to go to prison. If you drink every night until you knock yourself out, you'll become bound by your addiction. That's not freedom in my book. You could take what you want, hurt who you want, and show up when you want, but all of that would lead to a very sad life. It might be freedom of action, but it isn't a free life. True freedom isn't doing what we want when we want. It's living by guidelines that lead us into freedom of life. We look at sports people or great business people in the world and we hold them up on a pedestal. Do you know why they got there? Because they made a decision to be disciplined. They made a decision to say no to lots of things so that they could say yes to the one thing. If you want freedom in your body, you'll be disciplined in what you eat. If you want freedom of time, you'll be disciplined with how you spend and save money. If you want freedom in your relationships, you'll be disciplined to be a great spouse, parent, and friend. Freedom isn't free. It's earned. And our freedom was earned on the cross by Jesus. Not just freedom for yesterday, but freedom for our entire lives. So the laws of God that are given, they're not to restrict us. They're to set us free. If we truly believed in doing what we wanted when we wanted, we'd never raise our kids in the way that we do. But we give them boundaries, don't we? We give them guidelines. Why? So that they don't get hurt. So that they can thrive. And this is what God does for us. I think at times people view God as a cosmic fun sponge. But that wasn't Jesus if you look at the Bible. You may have heard all different things about God and about Jesus, but I would encourage you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find out for yourself. Don't get second-hand information. Because Jesus, the people who Jesus fell out with the most, were the religious people of the day. He was even described by the religious people as a glutton and a drunkard. Not because he was, but because he was around the parties. He was around the places where there was life. He was around the meals. Wherever Jesus went, people flocked to him. You know, when Jesus was in his ministry, he was at superstar status. Thousands flocked to him wherever he went. He actually had to try and get away from the crowd. See, the church has a PR problem, I believe. That God wants us all to be religious robots. That God wants you to become somebody else. I want you to know this morning, he doesn't. The Bible says that you were created in your mother's womb. So if God created you, why would he turn you into me? But what can happen is that throughout life we get bound by all the stuff of life, by hurt, pain, abuse, addiction, fear, anxiety, jealousy. The list can go on and on. And these things become a weight that twist us from who we're called to be. And they limit us. And they stop us living our fullest life. God doesn't want to turn you into someone else. He wants to turn you back into you. He wants to turn you into the person that he created. He wants to turn you into the person that he formed in his mother's womb. The person that's fully alive. The person that wakes up every day with purpose. The person that wakes up every day and doesn't dread the day, but is excited for the day. The person that wakes up and says, I am here on this planet for such a time as this. I am here on this planet to make a difference. I want you to know that through you, this world can be changed. You have your part to play on this world. It doesn't mean that everyone on the planet will know you, but it means that you can change your world. You can change your workplace. You can change that school. You can change that family situation just by being who God made you to be. He wants you to fulfill your purpose and potential. If you don't know him this morning, he's sitting on the sideline of your life, offering this chance for you to come to him unburdened. He longs to give you his freedom. It's like it says in Galatians 5 verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I want you to know today that God wants you to be free. He wants you to live a big life. He doesn't want you held back, head down, not moving forward. It's for freedom that he set you free. But how can we be free if we're still carrying the burden of the past? To be free, we need to know that we're forgiven. Acts 13, verse 38, 39 says this, therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. What the writer here of Acts, Luke, is saying is that you couldn't do it on your own. But through Jesus, you can have complete freedom from the stuff of your past. It's impossible for us to live free if we're still burdened by the pain of the past. If we're still burdened by the mistakes that we've made and our wrong and our mess. And there's a few hundred people in the room this morning. And every one of us have done something wrong. Every one of us. And if you're not careful, those things can weigh up and they can twist us and they can turn us and they can change us and we live with guilt and shame and hurt and fear. God doesn't want you to live like that anymore. That's why he went to the cross, so that not only can you be free, but so you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven from your past, from your present, and what Jesus did even goes into your future. Now, does that mean there isn't consequences here on earth? Of course there are. And that's right. Our Ilkeston Hub campus pastor who pastors our community, she tells her story, which is so powerful, of how she was transformed by Jesus in the midst of great violence and prison and different things. And she was changed by God. She was saved. She was set free. But did that mean her situation on earth changed straight away? No. Because we have to face the consequences on earth. Is that right? It's true. But today I want you to know that Jesus laid down his life so that you could not only be free, but you could be forgiven. All of your mess, all of your wrong, gone forever. A fresh start, a new day. See, this isn't just my ideas you're hearing this morning. This is the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said this, God made him who had no sin. That's Jesus. He lived the perfect life to be sin for us. So that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. You don't need to carry your shame around anymore. You don't need to carry your regret around, your failure. You don't need to torture yourself with the mistakes of the past. Today, in Jesus, you can be forgiven. And not only forgiven, but you can become an heir of the kingdom of God. You take on God's righteousness, so you can not only say, I am forgiven, but you can also say, I am the righteousness of Christ. That's the offer of Jesus today. It isn't just to get us out and let us work it out on our own. No, he sent us his Holy Spirit so that we can live a life far beyond that we could live on our own. This is the greatest message in human history. How many people in our world today are walking around bound, heads down, don't know how to live, lost, hurting, broken, and there is a God who came to take away it all. He went to the cross in our place and took the punishment that we deserve so that we can be forgiven and take on his righteousness, his beauty for our ashes, his joy for our shame, his strength for our weakness, his overflow for our lack. It's the greatest message humanity has ever heard. Back to the church having a PR problem. Why has it been portrayed that Christians just want to tell people about the sin? Probably because Christians have done that at times. I appreciate that. But the Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. We're all imperfect. We all mess up. I'm not stood here today. I've told you about the chocolate I've eaten this morning. I'm not saying I'm perfect. There's not one person in this entire church who says that they are perfect. If they do, they are wrong and deluded. God doesn't want to rub your sin in. Jesus came to rub it out. The weight of your past you've been carrying, it's time to bring it to Jesus. Place it at the foot of his cross, and he will set you free. And with our freedom, and with our forgiveness, we can know that in Jesus, we'll live forever. Hebrews 2 verse 14 to 15. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who are all their lives have been held in slavery by their fear of death. I want you to know when you're in Jesus, you don't need to fear death anymore. See, when Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, he walked out of his tomb and he left death in there. He broke the power of death over us so that while our bodies on this earth might fade, we will live forever. And more specifically, our bodies will perish, but who we are, our true essence, will live forever in heaven. If we have a relationship with Jesus. And not as ghosts and spirits, I don't believe. But I believe in the perfection of who God made us to be. The Bible talks about a new heaven and a new earth. I believe that heaven, eternity, will not be that much different to this earth, apart from it will be perfect. Have you ever stood on like a mountain and thought, wow, this is perfect? Have you ever like stood at the foot of the sea and thought, wow, this is so vast, and you've been overwhelmed? You're seeing the glory of God in creation. But what God's going to do is going to redeem it all, like he redeemed me and you. That's what I believe. And we're not going to live as slaves, but we're going to live as heirs of the kingdom of God. You can live free. You can live forgiven. And you can live forever when you step into a relationship with God. John 3:16, Helen's already read it. The most famous verse of the entire Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Just as God is real, the devil's real. You don't need to look that far to see real evil in this world. It's on our doorstep. And the beauty of what Jesus did is that all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. That's the Bible. And when Jesus died on that cross and rose again, he bought a new start for you. But as well as that, he paid for your future. A future where you could be saved and set free. A future where you will live with him for eternity. A future where you'll walk on streets of gold. A future where you have a mansion set before you in heaven. A future of eternity in perfection. He paid for it all. And that's why Jesus said, "It is finished." Because it was. His sacrifice did it. Once and for all. And today the question is this: will you receive his invitation to start a new journey with him, to give your life to him, to say sorry for the past and accept his freedom for your future? Or will you keep plodding on with the constraints of your issues that stop you from being free, with the weight of your past that stops you being forgiven, and not knowing where you're going to go when your end comes? Like I said at the start, Jesus being real is not a question that we need to answer. That's answered by history. The question is this: is he who he said he was?